Everything I did was self-taught YouTube videos, influenced from people that were better than me.
Uh-huh. Was there any particular YouTube channels that you liked, helped you, you think?
Fronos Photography is one of my favorites. I also watched a lot of the Adorama videos. It's another place that like sells cameras and gear.
Nice. Do you think that camera phones are getting to a level where they're going to match like real cameras?
I think for the sake of sharing and social media, like Instagram and that kind of thing, I think it's great to have a camera on you all the time. But when you compare the sensor the size of a peanut compared to the size of, well, a much fuller DSLR or a mirrorless camera, you know, I think quality is quite a ways away still.
What kind of camera do you like to use?
I have a Nikon D750, and it's a full-frame professional grade camera.
Nice. Do you also do video work or only camera stuff?
So when I first started picking up the camera, I really actually was going to get into videography. But I found that more passion and fun with just stills.
Okay. And do you ever do time-lapse stuff?
I haven't played around too much with it. Mostly when I do, it's with my iPhone.
Yeah. I hear you on that. I've done stuff with my Android. Are you an Apple guy or Android, PC, Mac?
So I am an Apple guy. I use the Apple ecosystem. I'm probably one of the first, not first, but one of the few photographers that do 99% of their editing on my iPad.
Okay.
And it works really good when I use my iPhone, iPad, and Mac all synced together with using Adobe Lightroom, which is the software that I use for mostly all my editing.
And for post-production, what do you use? That as well?
Yeah, yeah, post-production. Same thing. Yep. Yep.
So do you think Photoshop? I mean,
that's probably the area that I need to work on most. Okay. Photoshop and myself have not, we haven't spent too much time together. Yeah. Another area that I can definitely work on for sure. But there are YouTube channels that have great instructionals and videos.
Yeah, nice. Where were you raised, in Portland?
Or? Yeah, Southeast Portland. Born and raised, and there was only a brief little time I was in Southeast Washington, but for the most part, all here.
Nice.
It's amazing how this place has changed.
Yeah, how has it changed? Like, what are the most noticeable things?
Well, I mean, it's a very popular place, and with that comes a lot of people that move here, and so cost of living has gone up, value property has gone up. I remember my parents buying their first house when I was probably like 6 years old, and they purchased a little two-bedroom, one-bath for $28,000.
Yeah.
And that same house is probably worth like $300,000 today.
Okay. So do you think that bubble is coming, like a housing bubble?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Where do you think like is the most expensive part of Portland right now?
That's a good question. You know, I know that Lake Oswego, Wilsonville, Westland, Council Crest, all those areas are really probably the ritziest places in Portland or downtown.
Do you ever shoot over in Lake Oswego?
Not as much down there. Most of my shooting's done in the Southeast Portland, Troutdale, Vancouver. I shoot a lot over there.
Okay.
I love that Fort Vancouver Reserve area.
Nice. And what do you do like in specific when you want to further improve your pictures? Is there any like special effects that you like to use?
No, I just pay close attention to the settings I used. And when I pull them from the camera and import them onto my iPad, whatever I'm not happy with, I know what I can change.
Yeah.
I did a portrait session last night, actually. And it was really, really dark. And I pushed my camera to the absolute limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my camera, but there are better cameras that shoot low light. But, you know, you can always go back and look and be like, oh, man, I should have done that.
Yeah. Does it frustrate you that Instagram kind of limits the resolution on pictures?
No, that part doesn't frustrate me. Only because I don't put my my watermark on my photos.
Okay.
So if someone was to go to my Instagram, they'd see that there's no watermark. And, you know, if they were full resolution, people could quickly take them and share them as their own.
Yeah.
Which does happen a lot. My biggest frustration with Instagram is the algorithm. You know, it used to be time, you know, piece by piece. And now it's just, you know, Instagram choosing what it wants to show people.
And it's not based on popularity now.
It is based. Okay. Instagram thinks that a post is popular, then they'll share it. You know,
okay.
That to me is the biggest frustration. But Instagram to me is not as important as it is to some photographers.
Yeah.
I do it for the love and the passion of it.
Yeah. Promotion mainly.
Yeah. I have a business account on Instagram. So for it offers the ability to post sponsored posts, which I've chosen not to do. I let my account just grow, and most of my portrait work comes from a referral basis. So
yeah, most I was going to ask where you get your models from and stuff like that.
Yeah, almost all of them have been a referral-based type of situation. I started with two or three in my circle, and then from two or three grew and grew and grew until I became a business out of it.
Nice.
It's kind of funny. There's a lot of people that will look at a lot of female photography, and a lot of girls are aspiring models. Well, you know, a lot of them are really pretty, but you know, modeling jobs are actually few and far between.
Yeah.
And but the pictures themselves make the girls look and feel good about themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so people will pay for professional grade photography so they can share on their Instagram accounts. Yeah. For the sake of likes, the sake of popularity.
How often are you taking a model's photos and then later selling them for commercial work?
I have actually never sold a model's photos for commercial work. Uh-huh. I've been paid by apparel companies to shoot with models, and that is their owned work, copyright free, that I've shot for them them to use on their websites.
They do that, so they're advertising their clothing, you're getting paid, they're getting paid.
That's right, which is the perfect world. You know, there's a big fight on Instagram who gets paid, the model or the photographer, but I think in a perfect world, both get paid by somebody else.
Yeah, a different sponsor for sure. Would you ever go to like any photography events or anything like that?
We know there's a few that we've been to. Insta meets is what I call them, where a group of photographers will come and hang out and we'll, you know, get to know each other. It's a great community. You know, I've probably met more of my friends off of Instagram in that large circle group because of those Insta meets and those abilities to catch up and share the love, passion for photography.
Nice. Do you ever, like, did you ever find any hashtags on through Portland, I don't know, like inspirational or anything like that?
There are some. There was one recent one that I didn't fall in love with it, but it's a great one. It's Portland Model.
Okay.
It's probably the best hashtag that I like because it shows the ability for people to share themselves. And a lot of people consider themselves models. Well, may not be, but, you know, it's kind of cool just to see people with that confidence level.
Yeah, definitely. What's your favorite lens?
Good question. Depends on what I'm shooting.
Yeah.
In my bag, I always carry my 24-120 f/4, which is a great all-around walking lens.
Mm-hmm.
I can use it for portraits if I choose to, but it's not my favorite lens for that. And my favorite portrait lens is my 85mm 1.8 Nikon lens.
Do you feel like one day Instagram's going to actually upgrade to like 4K or something like that, though?
I'm not sure what plans Instagram has, but I would assume that at some point it'll be a better platform than it is today.
Right.
I hope my biggest change I'd love to see them make is go from a 5x4 crop to its standard 2x3, which is what cameras shoot.
Yeah. Do you ever like try to crop something and it's just not working the way that their dimensions are?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I catch myself, I'll go out and shoot like a landscape and I'll catch myself shooting a 5x4 frame specifically for Instagram. Yeah. Like, why am I doing this?
You know? You're just limiting yourself.
Right? Yeah. So what I'll do, you know, is I'll shoot a standard frame and then I'll crop it later on to fit the Instagram crop.
But yeah.
But it's funny. I actually sell a lot of prints and more people want the standard size than they want the 5x4.
Mm-hmm. Why do you choose the locations you do when you shoot?
Sometimes it's for like a frame that I've seen on Instagram where I want to make my own version of it. Sometimes I self-explore and like I'll go driving and be like, oh, I love this frame. I want to go check, you know, snap it.
Yeah.
I'll go out and I'll document the location so I can do it at sunset with prime color or what have you in the sky.
Yeah, this last one that says Portland Spirit. What inspired you to shoot that?
So I was actually shooting portraits that morning and I was waiting for my client to show up and the sky was looking good. So I took a little walk down on the waterfront and just saw it and I was like, I love the reflection of the light, which was coming from the east side of the state, and it looked really, really good.
The purple sky that was there, really.
That was there, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Usually think that you put some kind of effect on it, right?
That's good. It's kind of fun. I changed my Instagram colors, so like my recent like 9 posts have a similar tone of purples and blues, you know, and if you go to the fall set that I have, it's gold and oranges, and so I'll change it based on the time of year.
Nice. And this photo underneath that, or the third photo,
Palace Fine Arts.
Palace Fine Arts. Did you do like a blur thing kind of at the bottom.
That is a 30-second exposure.
Nice.
And so I got cloud movement, and because it was a little bit of a breeze, the trees are going to be a little bit blurry just because they're moving around a little bit. Mm.
I like that. This part's clear and everything's kind of foggy around it.
Yep.
And where did you get involved with this model with? How did you get involved with her?
A lot of them are just referrals. You know, she's seen my work and reached out to shoot one day. And that's what happens. A lot of times I'll look at my Instagram DMs and I'll be like, oh, there's a message from somebody that wants to shoot.
Do you look at their photos and say, I think I want to work with them? Or you just...
Not always.
Yeah.
Sometimes it depends on, you know, I have a slew of businesses that I work with on a regular basis that that like will look at the models that I've shot with and request them specifically to shoot their apparel.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll get a group of individuals around, you know, in my circle that I can hire if I need to.
Nice. And you went to Mount St. Helens National Park to shoot. Did you do that just specifically to go take pictures? Or
I do often just go somewhere to take photos. Nice. That day we were hoping for a really colorful sunset. I use a program on my iPhone that predicts when there's supposed to be color in the sky.
Really?
And that particular day was supposed to be really colorful, but over Mount St. Helens was not.
What program is that?
It's sunsetwx.com.
That is really cool.
Yeah. It's really helpful. Not always accurate, but helpful.
Where did you get the idea to define it? Like, did it just like looking through photography apps and stuff like that?
No, a lot of it comes from people that have used these apps for a long, long time and nice. Were like, hey, you should try this.
So it's good to network in the photography industry.
Absolutely,
can't
for
just
sure.
Be like a solo guy.
I mean, you can, but it might take you a lot longer to figure stuff out.
You're not going to learn stuff, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. This river shot is great. Where were you?
That's down on the Columbia River near the marina.
Nice. And yep. Did she volunteer to walk on those rocks?
It was my idea, but yeah, she
was
nailed
she worried?
It. She got cold. She got splashed a few times. I got some good photos of her face reaction.
Nice. Do you have a Patreon?
I do not. I have never had an inclination to sell my work that way. I've always just promoted it freely on Instagram.
Nice. I saw that you, one of people that were on my Instagram was following you. Sammy Ann Photography, ever work with her?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. She was on a few episodes ago. Do you think you'll ever, do you have a 4K TV?
I do have a 4K TV.
So you're a technology guy?
Kinda. I work, my 9-to-5 job is I work in the technology industry.
Nice. Oh, really? What kind of job is that?
I work in communications at AT&T.
Awesome. And do you think you're going to get an 8K TV when it comes out?
I might wait for that technology to perfect a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see how fast things move, and then technology will come out, and then they'll push it, and then all of a sudden, you know, it fails. I remember a 3D phone that came out not too long ago, and it was a terrible, terrible phone. It was like one of the worst things. But they all thought it was the coolest new technology to come out, you know?
Yeah.
But it was not.
3D is very frustrating.
I mean, I've heard holographic's the next big thing to come out. Holographic phones.
Okay. That would be cool.
That would be pretty rad. You know, the thing of like Iron Man where he's like got this computer set up and he's able to interact with the display that's popped up.
I mean, if it looks like Obi Kenobi, man.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these surgeons are using that kind of programming for doing work on people using gloves and being able to like virtual.
They were kind of saying VR is the future with that, but hologram seems better because you don't have to wear this thing on your face.
That's true. Seems a little more futuristic.
It's like real VR, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried VR?
Only in the line of work that I do. It wasn't my favorite experience. I'm not a video game guy at all. Yeah. I don't like video games.
Didn't grow up playing them?
I did.
Nintendo?
Actually, I did. Straight up, right? Yeah.
Like Tyson's Punch-Out?
No, not that one. So I was like Mario, Duck Hunt, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The light gun.
And then Donkey Kong came out, revolutionized the video games, in my opinion. The graphics on that were amazing.
Nice.
After all that, when first-person shooters came out, like Medal of Honor, I'm sure you remember that game, I started getting really dizzy. I'd play the game and be like, something's not right. And so ever since first-person shooters were like a really popular game, I just couldn't play them. I just get like nauseated and I was like, forget this. And I just set the games down.
I kind of hated it when 50% of the games coming out were first person shooters.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? This is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I like side scrolling. I like, you know, above shots and stuff.
That's us old school, man. These young guys, they don't know anymore.
Now they're just doing the battle royale.
That's right.
And I'm like, I'm never going to win this. Yeah. Even at Tetris, I got third place once. I'm like, that was like a miracle.
Oh, that's still my game of choice on my phone. Oh, Tetris. I love Tetris.
I have Tetris 99 for Switch, and there's like a battle royale mode. And I get my ass whooped every time.
Every time.
My friend's so good at it, and I'm jealous. He's visiting from New York soon.
Gosh, man, video games have changed so much. But I think, you know, the graphics are amazing. If they can do that, make them look so realistic, I can imagine what's going to happen soon, you know?
Yeah, and they're even coming out with video games. Like, this new one came out called Dreams, and you could just develop a video game within the video game itself.
Yeah, is that the one for Sega Saturn?
Sega Saturn.
No, I'm just kidding. You remember that game? There was a game called Dreams for Sega Saturn. You fly around. Oh, man, it was a brilliant game.
You had the Saturn?
I did for a short... I was like one of the like five kids that had a Sega Saturn.
So you were a hardcore gamer back then.
Back then, yeah. I set video games down a long time ago. Now I just
get out. That's good, man. It distracts you so much.
It does. You know, I've seen a lot of people... Video games just ruin their relationships, their lives.
And TV, man. Are you watching it sucked in any TV shows right now?
No, not at all. Game of Thrones is over, so I'm done.
Just gotta stay away from that, especially when you have a trade like photography or music, because then you're gonna be like too busy ingesting material than actually making the material yourself.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Being creative and making art is way better than taking it all in. But, you know, there's balance.
Yeah.
There's people that can do both.
For sure. There's people that are, you know, YouTubers that just thrive off other people's content, you know, which I don't find satisfying, but they do.
No, one of my biggest influences on for a YouTube channel person is Devin Supertramp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he first started making nature videos, not his like fun ones, but his nature videos and making those, that's what actually inspired me to start videography and getting a camera. First bought a GoPro. Started with that.
Yeah,
I remember hiking Mount St. Helens with my GoPro and trying to make a cool video out of it.
Nice. What I was gonna ask was, do you ever submit material to like photo contests or anything? Do you ever hear of this app called Fope?
I've never heard of that app. I've submitted a couple contests and I've won both times. For whatever reason, I don't. I don't know, either don't have time or don't think of it. There's been quite a few suggestions of my followers that they've said, you should submit something.
Mm.
And it happened twice, and I won both times.
Nice.
It wasn't anything big, so, but...
2 for 2, then why do you want to mess up those odds?
I don't do it for the winnings, I don't do it for the money, I do it for the fun.
Yeah, so it's more of an artistic thing when it comes to photography, not about money.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have like my own business. You know, my biggest income is my wedding photography. Portrait sessions. But
how do you get the wedding photography gigs?
Well, actually last year I did a booth at the Women's Expo.
Yeah.
And that produced a couple, and then I did a couple trade shows. I did one that the Gresham Art Festival.
Okay.
I had a booth set up there, and then there was another one at a cafe in Vancouver that I did. Well, all three of them have produced weddings.
Nice.
I'll just pass out my cards. So half my booth is landscape. The other half of it is focused on portrait wedding photography.
Okay.
So people walk up and look at my landscape and be like, oh, you do this? But yeah, I also do portraits and weddings. And that turns into a conversation, which turns into a business card being passed out, which turns into a wedding later on.
Yeah. How many business cards do you bring into the wedding usually?
Into the wedding?
Yeah.
I'll keep a stack in my bag and I'll pass out a few. People will tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, how much do you charge?
Yeah, you got to do that. I'm a musician and I don't bring business cards, and I got to do that when I play weddings and birthday parties.
People feel like they hear.
I get through gig masters.
Yeah. If you have a personality that you can have a conversation with somebody that, you know, if people like you, they'll hire you. You may not even have the best work out there, but if people like you, they'll hire you.
Yeah. And you hold out 10 business cards, you might get one guy that follows up, and that's worth it.
Right? Absolutely. I remember in my Vancouver trade show, I had one lady who was getting married like in 2 or 3 months, and she didn't have a photographer yet, which is short term. Most people hire their photographer about a year out.
Okay.
And she came up to me and she's like, well, I'm getting married. Well, she had a friend that was getting married. That's what it was. And she goes, I'm going to go get him, bring him down. So they brought the couple down, and we just had a conversation, talked about it, and hired me on the spot.
Nice.
And then that turned into that lady's wedding a year later, and now I'm doing her daughter's wedding.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's just, it's fun, you know, being able to have now these families that are now considered my family.
Yeah.
You know, doing all their portraits.
It also means more to you then.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Them.
And it's all way more comfortable, you know, when you're shooting with somebody that you know. It's totally
just
different.
Meeting
experience.
A new person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anxiety.
Awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. What's something that you wish you knew early on as a photographer that...
I kind of wish I jump on the photography game a long time ago, but for a long time I was really into fitness, and so, you know, that I've gone through stages in my life, but photography had its place when I started. I kind of wish I had jumped on the Instagram/social media game just a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
it seems like a lot of these people have a ton of followers, get great sponsors from companies like Sony and Nikon, you know, Canon.
Yeah.
Not that the following matters to me, but the following represents possibly sponsorships in the future. So my goal is to continue growing my account, of course. You know, it's not about the number, but...
Yeah. Vincent Van Gogh died penniless. Do you think he succeeded at life?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legacy. People know him, you know? I mean, part of like my photography is when I die, it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
People will be able to go back and be like, oh... That was really good work, you know. There's a guy that I used to follow, and he no longer is around, but his account still is online.
Yeah.
And I will often go back and check his work, and I don't know. It's just kind of cool to be able to see what someone has produced, even though they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just wondering, like, accounts from 20 years ago, I hope there's a way that Instagram can highlight these accounts, you know?
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Really
I don't
cool.
know how they're going to do it, but maybe they should do, like, flashbacks or something and just, like, make you watch a story or something of your friends. I don't know. Facebook does that, so.
They do. There's, I mean, it's kind of sad. There's a lot of people now that, you know, Facebook's been around long enough that there's a lot of deceased accounts.
Yeah.
You know, and some people will deactivate them. I've known, like, family and relatives and friends that have had people pass away, and they go in there and try to deactivate the account.
Right.
But I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's like a nice time capsule.
It is. And it'd be nice to be able to just mark it as, you know, deceased or whatever and just have memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be kind of a cool way to highlight
I don't think
some
any
features.
Of them should ever be. I don't think they ever do get deleted from the cloud truly. I mean, the government, NSA and all
I'm
that.
I'm sure it's, yeah, some server stored somewhere.
Absolutely. I saw that you made a post on Instagram. Made me think you're a Queen or a Highlander fan. Because you said, who wants to live forever in one of the posts?
Well, definitely Highlander over Queen, but that song actually was, I was listening to that music probably when I made that caption or post. Yeah. Most of my captions are music inspired.
Nice.
So I'll be listening to a song in my vehicle when I'm driving to either work or to a shoot.
Yeah.
And I'll just be listening to the lyrics and something will catch my mind and I'll be like, that matches that photo.
Yeah.
So if you go through the captions on my photos, most of them are music inspired.
Does immortality fascinate you?
I don't know about immortality. Yeah. I mean, Highlander is kind of a cool movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
I was going to say, the TV show or the movie? Do you
the think? Movie. The movie.
No Duncan MacLeod for you.
No. No, that was a classic, though. I remember my aunt and my uncle really being into the Highlander series.
Yeah. Then I tried to go back and watch it the first season. I was like, this is so cheesed out. I can't.
Yeah. There's definitely some movies from my childhood that have stayed in my brain for a long time.
Yeah,
when I was younger, the movie Tremors scared the crap out of me.
Tremors?
Yeah. Yeah, you remember the big worms that would eat people?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
That'd probably be it right there.
Really?
I mean, for the
I think
the
I was
time.
Terrified, too.
Yeah. I mean, another one was the movie Jurassic Park when it first came out, the original one.
Yeah.
I remember being pretty young, and I was in the theater. My mom had to take me out of the theater because I was crying. I was scared to death. Right about the part the Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, broke out of the fence and was about to eat the... you know, the guy in the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had to leave that scene.
Yeah. Where did you do this shoot right here where the girl's in a set of 9 tubes? She's in, like, the middle tube.
That's right next to Union Station, right down the street.
Wow. How did you discover this area?
So I had driven past with a friend of mine, and, you know, I've seen that set of tubes before, but
yeah,
you know, I rolled up, I kind of forgot about them, and that was just the meeting place that we just happened to set, you
yeah.
know, for our portrait session that day. And I was like, oh, that'd be super cool, let's just do it. And it just came to me, like, oh yeah, let's shoot there.
It kind of reminds me of the green tubes in Super Mario Brothers.
Yep, that is exactly what I thought too. Yep.
Nice.
Mr. Mario, he's a plumber after all.
Yeah. This shot is incredible. Where were you for this shot?
So it's that famous curvy street in San Francisco, and I've seen 100 shots, and I wanted to make it different. So I scooted the frame over to the right with the Lombard Street is the name of the street, which is the curvy part there in the top right corner, and I made it that part of the frame. Wow. Most people will just zoom in as close as they can on that curvy street to do the long exposure, but I wanted to highlight the buildings that I thought were just as equally cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. What street is that called?
Lombard Street in San Francisco.
Wild Bay Area.
Yeah. <That's cool. laughs> That was a fun little trip. We just drove around, took pictures of places that we wanted to shoot, and the trolley one was one of my favorites. We spent 2 hours just tracing around trolleys, trying not to get killed by cars.
Yeah, that's cool. I heard there's a feces problem. Is that true?
It's a possibility. It's actually a pretty clean city, actually. You know, we're comparing to like downtown Portland, where you know, the homeless population is crazy.
You catch a whiff of that smell, and you're like, "Oh, peed on the street."
Yeah, that's a nice downtown Portland fragrance.
Yeah,
like every time.
This was a great shot right here. The sun coming through the trees.
Yeah, we got so lucky. That was down in the Redwood Forest. Mm. I've never seen light come through the forest quite like that. It's like the perfect amount of fog.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you walk into this place and you're like, is this real? Is this really happening to me?
Right.
And, you know, I had friends that just were down there a few days ago.
Yeah.
And they had very similar conditions. The only difference is the rhododendrons were in bloom. And we had gotten down there, my friend Jake and I had just gotten down there like a little bit too early, but we're not sad. We got some great shots.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The lavender field, I've always wanted. Is that not lavender?
The tulip fields.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys at Wooden Shoe Tulip Festival are so kind to photographers. They allow people in early to take portraits and capture the sunrises and sunsets. And
as far as like getting the colors you want, I can't imagine anything better than the farms where they have like the rows of these flowers like that.
Oh yeah. They know what people are going there for, which is, you know, for the photography and for the experience of being able to walk through the fields. There's a lavender field in Portland. It's not so friendly.
Okay.
I'd love to go there, but they don't appreciate photographers at all.
I bet you people have tried to shoot there without his permission and got in trouble.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately they break the rules and makes it so, you know, other people can't enjoy it, but
yeah. This is a rose field?
Nope, same tulip field, just a different morning.
Got like every color, man. That guy's a good...
They do. They have a mixture of everything.
That is awesome.
And then I'll be going to the Palouse, which is that area there in eastern Washington, in 2 weeks. Looking forward to going out there with my friend Jake to do some scouting for his workshop and taking some photos.
Did you know this pilot in this plane?
No, but he clearly knows photographers take pictures because he shows off quite often.
That's awesome. And the hot air balloon, where'd that come from?
So almost every morning they get good conditions at the tulip fields. They allow the hot air balloons to come in, and the hot air balloons will have customers that want to take rides.
Nice.
And so they go up every morning, and it's nice to be able to capture them if they go up just over the right spot.
Have you ever done it?
Yeah. So a few years back in Arizona, we took a ride and almost died, actually. It was really windy the day before.
Yeah.
We went up, and in Arizona, they can have unexpected desert winds.
Mm-hmm.
And we were about to come down. And, you know, you can't really control a hot air balloon. It can go up, it can go down.
Right.
But you can't really control it. And the guy on the ground radios into the pilot. He's like, the winds are picking up. You might want to set it down real soon. So he finds us a plateau, and I'm not even kidding. We're about 20 feet from the ground, and this thing is coming in like this, and all of a sudden the gust of wind picks up, grabs the balloon on the desert floor, and drags us for like a quarter mile. We're all tucked inside the hot air balloon basket, praying we don't die.
Are you good on hot air balloons?
Yeah, I think I'm good. I think that's done for that one. Yeah, we're one and done. But, you know, that was on my bucket list, so
yeah,
cross that one off.
That's crazy. Man. What's your favorite place to eat in Portland?
Oh man, there's so many good spots. I'm on a special diet. Don't hate me, but I'm doing keto, so it kind of limits the places you can go eat. But when I can eat what I want to eat, I love, there's a place in Gresham, it's called Mojave. It's a little Mexican restaurant. I love that place. man, there's so many good places. I love the food carts. You get great variety of food down here. I used to work downtown Portland on 3rd, and we'd walk over and just get the food carts.
Remember when Brunchbox had a food cart?
I don't remember going to that one, but there, what was the, there was like a burrito one that was really good. It's been so long since I worked downtown, I can't remember all the names, but recently just ate at one of the Greek ones. It was really good too.
Nice. Did you ever try Angelina's Greek Heroes?
No, was it good?
It's a great, I mean, it's only at Portland Saturday Market, and they also have a place by the train station on 1st.
I'll check it out, man.
Yeah.
I like Henry's is really good.
What is it?
Henry's on 12th.
What do they have?
Henry's Tavern. Okay. It's just, you know, great, just overall pub food, but they're really good. Mm-hmm. My friend Kevin owns Backwoods Brewery. They just opened up their brew pub downtown.
Any beers you like over there?
Oh, their Copper Line's really good. During the holiday season, he'll have the Pecan Porter. So if you like beer, my friend Kevin's place downtown Portland, Backwoods Brewery. Mm. You got to check it out. It's really good food. Do wood fire pizza, pub fare. Oh. Really good.
Nice. I'm from New York, so I'm pretty picky about that. But that sounds good.
If you like beer, he's got a little bit of everything. They'll let you try it. Okay. And they're just down the street.
Got any amber beers over there?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the Copper Line's an amber.
That's something I've preferred when I came to Portland. I was like, I really like the ambers here.
Yeah, they have a great variety. I'm more of a pilsner or like a lager, light lager.
Mm.
That's my flavor. I like a lot of Mexican beers.
Okay. Do you have a favorite type of exercise?
You know, I tried CrossFit once, and I did that for like 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, it was really effective. It taught me a lot about like Olympic lifting, but I just like to go to the gym and lift weights, just regular old lifting weights.
Okay.
And no one likes cardio, but you got to do it into your routine anyway.
Yeah. That's why I have this recumbent bike over there. But
just to get a little extra movement in the morning?
Yeah, for sure. Or, I don't know, I try to use it. I don't end up using it a lot of the time.
It just sits there collecting dust.
Seriously. Would you rather spend a day at the beach or poolside?
Beach, definitely the beach. Yeah. I'm not much for pools.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the smell of chlorine. It's not my favorite smell, and normally there's a bunch of rowdy people.
Yeah. If you could have any exotic animal as a pet, what would it be?
Oh man, I don't like keeping pets. I'll be real honest.
Yeah.
I think pets belong in the wild. I mean, I believe animals belong in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dog person by nature. I love cats. Yeah. Your cat's adorable.
Thanks.
When I was younger, I had a piranha. Yeah, and I fed it goldfish. No one better hate me for that. I was young. but that was probably the most exotic animal I've ever owned.
Nice. Do you have any pet peeves?
Bad drivers, people from whoever, you know, coming into Portland. I mean, Portland drivers can be bad, but
yeah,
it just, people in the left lane. Look, if you're not passing somebody, get over, you know, like I'm a fast driver just by nature.
Uh-huh.
But that's my pet peeve is bad drivers for mm-hmm. sure. Hands down.
Yeah, I hate that. What's your death row meal?
Oh man. Good question. Probably a whole Costco pecan pie.
Nice.
And probably some barbecue.
Nice.
Death row meal. Jeez. Such a morbid thought. Here, what's the last meal you're going to eat in your life?
Yeah. Let's follow that with your favorite ice cream topping.
Oh man. You're throwing out all these weird date questions. No, it's kidding. I don't know. Caramel, probably. I like caramel.
Caramel's great. That's what I go to when I get something from Starbucks or something like that. Even though
I like black coffee. That's my thing. I'm a big nice. Stumptown fan. Stumptown. If you notice in my bio and my Instagram, it says I'm a coffee addict. That is a true statement. I can't live without coffee. But Stumptown is my favorite. I've also come to like Black Rock quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of my clients work at Black Rock.
Nice.
So, but yeah, love coffee.
Have you been at Tillamook Cheese Factory?
Oh, I have. Yeah, we used to visit that place quite often. My family was a big fan of those cheese curds.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. Got to eat them within 24 hours.
Oh, for sure.
Got to be squishy.
It's like we had a routine. You go to the cheese factory, you get your cheese curds, your beef sticks, and your Triscuit crackers.
Ice cream at the end.
And then, you have the ice cream first.
Oh, really?
The other stuff's for the road, you know?
Yeah.
That was sense. Like a routine.
Yeah. Are you into podcasts at all?
You know, I used to be really heavy into like the church scene, and when I was, I'd listen to a lot of my favorite teachers and pastors.
Yeah.
but I haven't been part of that scene for a long time, and so I kind of fell out of the podcast thing. But there's still a lot of people that subscribe and listen. One of my favorite photographers is Nick Page.
Okay.
And he's a great YouTube podcast guy. He's got some great content. I've learned a lot from his stuff. So as far as like in the realm of podcasts, there's still a lot of great content out there.
Are you still religious?
Yeah, I still believe in God.
Nice. You still do like the praying and go to church every once in a while?
I go to church every once in a while. Definitely still talk to God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not always great conversation, but... You know,
I'm watching this show called Lucifer, and it's reminding me of my church days.
Yeah, I think everybody's gone to church at least once or twice. Not everyone has a great experience, but...
It seems like it's necessary background or to understand the world more. I don't know.
I 100% agree. You know, there's a lot of people that have never even heard of God, but, you know, but for the most part, yeah. I think everybody has heard of God or at least Jesus. You know, it's not everyone believes in that, but, that, you know, everyone's got their own opinion. I just know that my personal background, being that I am... that I do believe in God. It's like, I don't know, it's helped me live a better life.
Yeah. It teaches people things.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, do you believe everything that's written in the Bible to the written word, or do you just kind of believe in being a good person, you know?
Yeah. I think in order to define that, you have to have some sort of experiences in life that, I don't know, lead you to God, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You can't just believe just to believe. I think everyone needs to have an experience.
Yeah.
And some people have never had one. And I think that makes it harder to believe in a and an entity, whatever that might be.
Yeah. Have you ever speak in tongues?
If you want to call it that.
Yeah, what do you call
it? Whatever you call it. When I was in youth group a long time ago, we went to a youth group conference in Canada.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that was speaking in tongues back then.
Okay.
I think it was just gibberish. I'm not sure. But
yeah, that's what I heard when... Only in the main church, not in like Sunday school or anything like that.
But. Yeah. I actually used to be on the worship team for the church. I played bass guitar.
Really?
Yeah, I played it for almost, 12, 13 years. My brother, his first job, he worked at Burgerville.
Okay.
And he bought himself a guitar. His second paycheck, he bought me a bass guitar. So him and I would jam out. And then we were going to the same church. And they needed some people to be on the worship team. So they asked my brother and I to play. And so him and I played together. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
But I love that instrument. There's a lot of power behind it. Now I love the cello. It's like my favorite instrument.
You play still?
I play the bass guitar still. Nice. Occasionally. I haven't probably picked it up in a few years, but.
How long did you play the bass guitar?
Like about 13, 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to do some recording? Have you over here?
Just jam out session.
Yeah.
Oh, my fingers probably wouldn't appreciate that. I have a guitar hanging up in my room, and so I'll pick that up occasionally. And
nice.
My mom used to sing us John Denver around Christmas
so it's
time.
An acoustic.
Yeah.
What kind of guitar?
It's a Corona. It's a Canada brand. She bought it when she was on her honeymoon a long, long time ago, and she's just had it in the family ever since, and she gave it to me for my high school graduation. And I'll tell you what, man, it is the nicest guitar. I don't remember what she paid for. It wasn't a lot. That thing never goes out of tune. And you know how guitars can be. They can hang on a wall and go out of tune in like a day.
Oh,
this
yeah.
guitar, I could pick it up every 4 or 5 months, and the thing sounds like it's in tune. I'm like, what in the world is this? Is like the best instrument ever.
Yeah. It's like my Martin DCME guitar. I've had it since 2002, and I've beaten the crap out of it, but it always stays in tune.
You're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, unlike this Philippines guitar behind you, which is a nice showpiece, but it plays like crap. It's $20.
That blue color, though, is nice.
It's a nice blue color. And one day I was like, I need to have a background for the podcast, and that guitar is perfect.
It works great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite musical. You know, it's funny. I think artistic people in general will find passion in different things, but they're artistic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that most people don't know about me is that I was an apprentice to a tattoo artist for about 3 months.
Wow.
And I've always loved drawing, and I started drawing my own tattoo work, and I have some friends that have some pieces that I've drawn for them on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to do that. That was like before photography. I was drawing and becoming a tattoo artist. But I wasn't very good. I'll be real honest. Like it wasn't like I looked at my work comparing it to his work. And I was like, oh, man, I suck. I'm done.
Yeah. Who did that work with the trees right in your arm? That's amazing.
My friend Alonzo, he runs DVC Tattoo with his buddy Aaron.
Yeah.
And he used to come over to my house and just do all my work. So my left arm is his older stuff. This is his newer stuff.
Reminds me of the trees from Twin Peaks, man. So cool.
Yeah, he did a good job, man. I get a lot of compliments on it. I'm happy with the shading.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good tattoo artist for sure.
Nice. So, have you ever disliked something and then changed your mind later?
People? No, just kidding. No, I think for the most part, when it comes down to it, well, okay. So here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Around Christmas time, I went and bought a Sony camera.
Okay.
Thinking it was going to be the greatest thing I've ever purchased. Thinking mm-hmm. it was going to be the most bomb for portraits. And I went out and shot with it. I did a portrait session with one of the gals I work with. And it just had the worst chromatic aberration, which is like a glow behind somebody, like a purple haze. I've never seen anything worse. And wow. I was shooting with a Sony lens and the Sony body. I'm like, okay, I don't know what the hype's about. Maybe it's just this camera. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again. But I was like, I loved it and then I hated it immediately.
Did any of the pictures ever make it to Instagram even?
Yeah, I have. If you go a little bit further down, you know, yeah. I used to have another account. I shut it down. But on this account, I'm pretty certain I have one. Right, go back up. The one with she's stretching right there.
Okay,
this that, one? That one there. That was shot on that nice. Sony.
Yeah, okay.
It's tight. I mean, I'll tell you, the focus on a Sony lens is beautiful. I shot that at 1.8.
Okay.
Which normally on my Nikon, I'd have to shoot at like 2.2
yeah.
to get a sharp full body image like that. But nope, that 1.8 nailed it.
How many megapixels?
It was a lot. That particular one was an A7R Type 3, and I feel like it was like 36, something like that.
Okay. And that was the only one to do this one or anything?
No, I think the one I just showed you.
Okay.
I think that's the only image I have from that shoot that was shot with that
camera.
Did you
ever do like group photo sessions? Like, would you ever do a yoga session? Like,
oh, yeah. I've done all kinds of stuff that doesn't make it to my Instagram. I've shot people in a gym before, the fitness shoots. Just stuff doesn't always make it to my Instagram.
Do some people request to do just like a private collection?
No, people pay me to shoot all kinds wow. of weird stuff. I once at the Portland Women's Expo, this is a true story.
Yeah.
I had a lady come up and she was like, hey, have you ever done nude photography?
Yeah.
And I was like, not really. What do you want? And she was like, oh, well, me and my lover, we want to get some pictures together. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Is he here? Uh-huh. Oh, no, she is not here. Anyway, it was just yeah. an interesting conversation. But so there's a lot of things that I would, you know, do for the business out of it that I wouldn't do for the art part of it.
Would be more art for you or
business? No, that would definitely be the business part of it for yeah, me.
For
but,
sure.
You know, it is what it is.
I was going to ask, have ever women been uncomfortable and you have to like comfort them, be like, listen, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm a professional.
Nope. Every single one of the people I've ever worked with would probably recommend me.
Oh, because you're referred, so they don't have anything to worry about.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Oh, that picture right there was shot with the Sony too.
Okay. Nice. This was referral as well.
Yep.
Nice. And what did she use these photos for? What did you for Instagram?
That also, I just needed some fitness shoot portfolio work.
Was it a trade thing? She paid you good.
that particular shoot was a trade, and I don't do that very often.
Okay.
Most of my work is paid.
Okay, nice. What would make you want to do a trade shoot over like a paid?
If it's my idea for one.
Okay.
If it's something I need for a portfolio for two.
Okay.
Or if it's a piece of clothing that I need worn for some sort of promotional advertising.
All right.
Would you or get if it? I travel.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever get into the stock photography game?
You know, I have a very good friend of mine that's really good at that, and I need to get a lot better. Because what yeah. good is an image just sitting in your archives when it's not being...
Yeah, you have so many photos, I'd say just submit everything. See if it hits, you know?
Yeah, you could sell 3 photos for like $75.
For sure. I guess it's tedious to do all that uploading, though. Like, it'd be great if you got like an assistant to do all that for you.
For sure. Just do it set by set.
Yeah.
But I'll sell prints, you know, and that's like my favorite thing to do.
Nice. Where was this? It's incredible.
So that's in the Eastern Washington Palouse area. Okay. The guy on top of the bus is my friend Jake. And he's got these LED strips around a little tube.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd light them up and he'd just twirl them slowly on a 30-second exposure. And so as he's twirling, he's making these really cool designs and the camera's capturing that light.
This is pretty sweet Christmas Eve.
Yeah. That was probably one of my favorite pictures I took from that trip.
And this is called the PNW bus?
Yeah, it actually has a name, the PNW bus. They moved it. It used to be, It used to be somewhere else. They have a different location next to a park. It's actually a little more easy found now.
But it's like a tourist location? What is it?
It probably is now.
Okay. So it's like somewhere you're just
it's
like,
just on the side of the road. You can like drive by and be like, oh, there's the bus. You know, it doesn't go anywhere. It has no wheels.
Some nice colors.
Yeah, it's been all tagged up with graffiti on the inside and out. There was a guy that was shooting along with us. We never met him before.
Yeah.
Another photographer. And he had some really cool like green glow sticks.
Yeah.
And he had put them inside the bus. And that's what created that really cool glow on the inside.
And you must have done an exposure because this right here, right?
Yeah. Well, 30 seconds will bring out the stars.
What was that? A shooting star or something?
No, it was probably a plane.
That's awesome.
I actually like it. A lot of people actually Photoshop the plane streaks out. Which I'm like, that's cool. Like, that adds a really cool character to it.
Yeah, it shows that something was going on. It shows you like the time that passed, you know?
That's right.
That's so cool. Oh, this is a famous shooting location, correct?
Yeah, everyone knows Haystack Rock.
All right, nice.
Or Cannon Beach, whichever that
one. Yeah. How often do you go out there?
Not super often. I probably try to get out to the coastline, you know, somewhere along the coast once every month.
You ever shoot at Multnomah Falls?
Oh, yeah. You know, everyone's got to take those pictures. It's not my favorite location to shoot because you have to get out there really early so you don't photograph 100 people.
Yeah. Have you shot there before the fire and after?
I have. I couldn't tell a whole lot of difference.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
My favorite picture that I ever took at Multnomah Falls was when the ice storm hit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I got it. It was a really frozen image. I actually printed it out like massive. I printed a 30 by 20 of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of my favorite pictures.
Nice. And you shot in Death Valley.
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
That's cool, man.
Every time I shoot there.
The lowest point on Earth. Yeah. What was that like?
It's salty.
Okay.
And you get thirsty often.
Right.
But it's fun. Last time I was there, it was really windy.
So it's like hard to breathe in high points of the earth. Does that mean it's easier to breathe in the low part?
Yeah, it makes sense, but it's still very dry.
True that. So it's one of the coolest shoots, but was it hot?
Yeah.
Was it hot at all?
It was warm that day.
Okay.
It was. I mean, she shot in a bikini earlier in the day.
Mm.
So it was warm enough for that.
Yeah, for sure. This Golden Gate?
Mm-mm. Bay Bridge in San Francisco.
Ah, okay. Nice.
Another long exposure.
I like how you got the lights at the bottom.
Yeah, when the water smooths out, you get the reflection in, and yeah, the glow of the industrial area back there.
Very cool. So you just like drive around and then you're like, I want to shoot here. Is that how you choose these locations sometimes?
Sometimes. It depends. If there's an image, like that one was a drive and shoot. And just driving, I slammed on my brakes. The person behind me probably almost hit me, but I had to get the shot.
Nice.
You know, but there are places that are famous, you know, that you drive to specifically to capture an image.
It's also cool when you found it. You're like, this is on the side of the road, and that looks awesome.
Yep. Those are my favorite photographs because they're not, you know, they're not well known. It's like there are places on Instagram, for instance, that are well known. You're like, okay, I've seen this image 100 times, you know.
Yeah.
And those aren't ones that I try to go after often unless I'm visiting a new location, traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
Like I had plans to go to New York in a few weeks, and I chose not to for sake of money, but
yeah,
the Dumbo is what it's called, and I think it's just one of the bridges out in the Brooklyn area, and okay. It's a very popular shot, but I really want it, you know.
Yeah,
but there are times where it's like, you know, you go because you want that shot.
Yeah, I agree. You did a snowboarding shoot, is that right?
I did. So she requested a graduation photo shoot. And I said, what did you have in mind? And she's like, well, I snowboard. You want to go up to Timberline? I'm like, I'm down.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of my favorites. I love that portrait.
Do you do action shots like this often?
I do. You know, I had a guy ask me the other day to do some sporting event stuff, and I don't have the right equipment for a sporting event. I don't have. So in the world of lenses, they have what we call fast lenses and slow lenses.
Okay.
And the fast lenses are super expensive. Like you can get a 500 millimeter, you know, fast lens for probably like $6,000 to $7,000.
Yeah.
I have a 300 millimeter slow lens and it was like $500.
Uh-huh.
But it's not fast enough to do like sporting events where you have, you know, balls moving, guys running, girls running, whatever. But that particular lens is a 70 to 200 and it's a 2.8, which is a very fast lens and it's perfect for that shot.
Nice. And the wardrobe's very interesting choice.
That's her graduation stuff. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yep.
Do you have photos with the graduation cap?
Also? Oh, yeah. I got tons of... that was a whole set we shot. You know, so but cool. That was my favorite image I got from that shoot.
Yeah, I can't see many people have a graduation snowboard trip. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's her name's Taylor. She's actually a host on the 98.7 The Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a really cool lady.
Yeah, that's so super cool. She lives around Portland?
Yep. Yep. Nice.
Yeah, how often are you taking a sunset? Like every day you try to take one?
Anytime I can get out when I have the time and the weather looks good and it's been forecasted to be nice, I will try to go out and shoot a sunset somewhere.
Nice.
You know, no matter what. Sometimes I'll shoot objects. Like I have a really cool picture that is like a tiny little plane and I shot with a macro lens.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be anywhere cool. It wasn't like a great location, but because the color was pretty behind it, it made for a really cool image.
Yeah, did you plan it out, the bird, to be right over the sun? Because that's amazing.
Just perfect timing, I guess.
The silhouette of that bird?
Yeah.
Like totally black.
Just perfect timing is all and that was.
The layering of the waves, it's like, what do you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? That's perfect.
Yeah. You know, some images are lucky. Some are planned. You know, most of them are luck. Most of them are just the right time, the right place.
I remember I did a photo shoot in Forest Park, and she took like 900 photos, and I'm like, I like these 300.
<It's weird. laughs> Yeah, you could take 900 photos and not like one of them. But,
yeah.
But sometimes... because of my process, I go through after a portrait session, I'll often upload the photos immediately. Mm-hmm. I just did a graduation shoot down at U of O, and the lady and her mom were so happy they were able to look through the images and be able to pick their favorites. That way I didn't have to worry about sending them images they didn't like. And we shot 460 frames and she liked 300 of them. That's a good number.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a good one. Do you like shooting planes a lot?
I do. I actually have a friend who's in the military, and he actually flies C-17 Galaxies for the air shows this year.
Nice.
And I'm actually going to go up and see him in a couple of weeks.
Did you ever want to fly?
I did, actually. When I was getting out of high school, I was going to join the ROTC program in the Navy and become a fighter pilot. And
wow.
Yeah. My significant other at the time wasn't a big fan of that, so
yeah, I was just reading up about that because I was watching some World War II docs, and they said that basically at this point they're not really at all like doing the fighter pilot thing, you know.
Most of it's drone work.
It's crazy. It's just like, I think that's probably lucky though. I mean, it's pretty dangerous.
Some of these guys are really good at video games. They're gonna be the best pilots there are.
Yeah. At this point, I think they just make it drones. Are gonna do that?
Yeah. And what's the point if you don't need to be in the plane itself to fly it? Like, why put that person in danger?
Yeah.
But there is something to be said. So I actually took some pilot training when I was younger. My mom was a flight instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there's nothing quite like being in a plane and feeling what the plane is feeling. You know, I played video games for a little while in my youth. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite games were the piloting games. And I was good at them, like pretty darn good.
Flight Simulator VR.
Yeah, Ace Combat was like my jam. I love that game. And I was really good at it. Like I thought, oh man, this is like, I'm going to be the best pilot there is. But you know, you go up in the plane after that, you're like, oh, I suck at this. You know, totally different. But
I think you might want to be interested in flying drones. And there's like a VR headset that you could put on. So it's basically like flying.
Oh, I'd love to get a drone. There's just so many regulations. You don't want to break any rules and laws.
Yeah, the UAF regulations.
Yeah. So I'll leave that drone photography alone for a little while longer.
That's why you got to go out with a buddy.
Yeah, it's true.
He's got the lookout.
Some of my favorite shots are the ones where people are like flying over the coastline and they get like half beach and half, you know, surf coming in. Yeah. And those images are just so pretty.
Would you see yourself doing drone photography?
Oh, absolutely.
Like 5 years from now or something?
Oh, less than that. I'll probably pick up a drone next year.
Very cool. Yep. So you want to get like professional training and stuff?
I don't need professional training. You pick up a drone. Come on.
You played video games growing up, right?
Yeah, I play video games. I can figure this out. You know. But I was looking at the DJ Mavic Pro.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's $800. I think $800 drone.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good price point for what you get out of it. The problem is you crash that one time, you just lost however much money you just spent.
Exactly. And then you're putting a really expensive camera on sometimes.
Yeah.
Using the built-in one.
They have those like programs that like, you know, you can insure your drone, but you know, if you don't find it, they don't cover it, I don't think.
Yeah.
They don't cover lost, they just cover broken.
The first episode of this podcast is basically a story about how my friend lost his drone in the ocean. He's like, there's a 1 in 1,000,000 chance it's you're getting this back, and he somehow got it back.
Well, I'd buy a lottery ticket that same day.
Right. And he said he heard the tide was coming in, so he was just gonna wait
it out. Man, he probably
so
got
lucky.
I wonder if it still works. Probably not. My friend Jake just washed his camera in the ocean a month ago. I felt so bad for him. I'm like, that's like the worst experience ever. Can you imagine like watching your camera just get doused in like a wave?
I can't believe it. Yeah, that's $3,000 camera.
Yeah, see you later. $3,000.
This is why I don't like to buy things that are that expensive.
I know, that's terrible.
Especially taking it on the road or something. You're like, oh. If it's at home and it's safe, you're like, okay. How often are you shooting in Seattle?
I've been there probably 3 times in the last year. I actually do want to go back next month. I always have friends that I like to meet up there that are well-known photographers, and we like to get together and shoot.
Where'd you shoot the eclipse?
I went to Colton High School.
Nice.
And it was the like most northern part of the totality zone.
Yep.
Which where I was living at the time was only like a half an hour away. So
how'd you get
so
the shot? It's hard.
So I researched how to get, they call that the diamond ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I researched, I had my camera settings at 400 ISO, certain aperture with a special filter on.
Yeah.
And, it's just, you have a one in a million chance, not one in a million, but you know, one chance to get it right, you know?
Yeah.
And I just did a ton of research on it. Thanks again to podcasts, Nikon podcast at the time was advertising how to get that shot.
Yeah.
And so I was watching that, and, I was with 4 other photographers and we all got it. Cause I walked them through the settings on their phone or on their cameras. So it was really cool to have everybody kind of walk away. It's actually my most famous shot. It's the first one I ever posted of that.
Yeah.
Which was, that's the anniversary shot of it.
Yeah.
If you go to the original one, it had like 5,000 something
nice
people had found it.
That's awesome. I was at Coffin Mountain and it was amazing. It was also on totality. We got to see the corona and everything.
It's a magical experience. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah. My grandparents live in Iowa and I'm going back to see them in August, but I think they're about 2 hours from the totality zone from the next one,
okay,
which is in 2022.
That's awesome. You're going to go there?
I'm going to go there. Absolutely.
I thought it was 2024.
Maybe that's what it was. Either way, whatever the next one is,
yeah,
I'm definitely going to go.
Absolutely.
I want to see that again. That is an incredible experience.
I agree. My brother from New York and my friend from New York is coming tomorrow. All, they came out just for the eclipse. And we did the drive. You know, it's totally worth it. They said the traffic was going to be worse than it was, and it wasn't that bad.
No, we didn't have that bad from going from Colton. That wasn't bad at all.
Nice. Did you, man, it seems like you do a lot of LA or California shooting, no?
Mm-mm. San Francisco is like my number one spot to go to.
Okay.
I have a wedding there in October. I'll be going back. I just got back last month from San Francisco. It's cheap to fly there. You know, you keep an eye on the airfare specials. True. You know, you can get a round trip ticket for $100.
Yeah,
I don't
right
know why more people don't take a little trip down there just for fun.
Maybe they don't have a place to stay.
It is true. You know, one night there is like $200 for a hotel. Yeah. It's not cheap.
Where was this dock?
So that's a place between Seattle and Bellevue. Okay. And it's like a lake. And I tell you, man, that's one of those nights or those mornings you just can't, you can't get luckier.
The sky was like, please reflect me in the lake.
It was so calm. The texture was so perfect.
Yeah.
I still have shots I want to post of that, but I'm sure somebody's going to get tired of it at some point.
Yeah, it's jaw-dropping for sure.
That's definitely print-worthy.
Yeah. Ever get anything in a magazine or anything like that?
You know, I was shooting for a local Portland magazine for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to have Portland magazine feature my work more often. They feature it occasionally on their Instagram account.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be in that magazine. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think you should totally.
But more people are in electronic publications and paper publications anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. I don't know anyone that has magazines nowadays.
It's all done. Yeah, it's all done like their, you know, magazine subscriptions on their iPad or whatever.
I haven't seen a door-to-door magazine subscription seller in...
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah, in movies and stuff. Like movie Office Space.
Oh, man.
Well, your photos are incredible. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, man. I hope other people can enjoy them. I certainly enjoy taking and sharing them.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do is interact with people on my Instagram. So, you know, if you've seen this podcast or, you know, you want to interact, you know, if you leave a comment, you better believe I'm going to reply to it. So
nice. Yeah. Engaging on Instagram
It's super important. I have friends that are models and photographers alike that don't interact with their people that follow. I'm like, that is not a good way to live. Yeah. These people are following your work, not just because it's beautiful, but because they want to know you a little better as a person.
Yeah, I think it's like an old school thinking, like in the 80s and 90s, you know, celebrities, you had no way of contacting them. And now you do. So it's like, why not?
You know? Yeah. And people always get excited when a celebrity like responds. You're like, God, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he replied to my comment.
Yeah, best we had back then was they might answer your fan mail, one in a million chance.
Yep.
And it's probably somebody else doing it for them.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, their assistant or whatever.
Exactly. And now it's like you can have mid-tier celebrities and you can contact them. And it's back then it was just like A-grade celebrity. You could get on cable TV, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not talk to each other and be more social?
It's a great community out there. Like, people interacting is fantastic.
Agreed. All right. Well, I will hopefully check in on your work about a year or so, and you'll be doing some drone photography. We'll have you back on.
That sounds good, man.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Time's ticking down, and you gotta be ready. We're moving forward, gotta hold steady. You can't wait to plan your great escape. Looking around, but we can't see anything. Lines in your mind, but you're still waiting. If not now, when will you be found? You can't please them all if you try. It gets harder to find what you love over time. We are you're given. We disagree with the lives that we're living. Look up now, see it all come down. I'll pack my bags and I'll go on a holiday. I'll do tomorrow what I didn't do today. When I'm grown, I'll fill my life. We are young and we've got all the time. We've got places to be and mountains to climb. We are well.